And he asked, "Do you have anything to say?" And the monk replied, "Food? Bad." That's all he said. And he got up and walked out. After another year, the monk again had an opportunity to voice his thoughts. And he was called in by the abbot and says, "Do you have anything to say?" "Bed. Hard." And he got up and walked out. After the third year, he was called before the superior and asked once again, "What have you to say?" He responded, "I quit." To that, the abbot responded, "It doesn't surprise me a bit. All you've done is complain since you've gotten here." Now, there are those who would argue if this monk was dedicated or he was just willing to dabble with his spiritual journey. Yes, he was dedicated to take a 3-year term of silence. But after those 3 years, he quit. Was he just dabbling or was he dedicated? There's a big difference between dedication and dabbling. It's okay to dabble in a lot of things. You can dabble in the stock market. You can dabble into woodworking. You can dabble into quilting or knitting. You can dabble into pottery or some other hobby. But we have to stop dabbling into Jesus. We dabble in church, which is His body. Sure, we want to be members as long as there's no responsibilities attached to it, right? We want to go to church when it's convenient. We want to be there and have programs for the youth. As long as you don't ask me to be involved. Don't get me involved with the kids or the youth. We want to support the church's work and its missionaries as long as it doesn't interfere with my financial plans or my goals in life. And God forbid that you actually ask me to go and do missionary work. We want the building to look nice and well kept as long as I don't have to come to a work day. As long as you don't ask me to clean or wash coffee cups after service. We want there to be good teachers and workers in our Sunday school classes, but don't ask me to be a teacher. Oh, and if I don't like the teachers that have stepped up, I get my say to say, pick a different one. We want church to have great biblical leadership as long as they don't expect me to be one or pick one or to obey one. We basically want church to be there for us and not the other way around. But that's what church is. Church is a place where we come to serve. We don't just dabble in our commitment to church. We dabble in our Christianity. We want to meet the physical needs of those around us, don't we? On occasion, maybe not every day. We want to be kind to strangers, but don't ask me to invite them into my house. That's just not safe. We absolutely, we want to care for the sick, don't we? But if they can't have the decency to pick up the phone and call me and tell me they're sick, forget it. We want people to know Jesus, but we just don't want to tell them ourselves. So maybe, just maybe, I'll tell them, "Why don't you come to church once?" And if they don't come, well, I tried. There's a difference. Dabbling waits for an opportunity. Dedication seeks the opportunities. Dabbling waits to be told. Dedication knows the needs of the people. What if we stop dabbling in church? What if we stop dabbling in our Christian walk and actually dedicated ourselves to God in becoming the living, moving, active body of Christ inside and outside of these walls. You see, to dedicate means to set apart or to devote to a special purpose. And today we have two families who have chosen to set their child apart for God. They are giving their child back to God because that's who gave it to them. This is not to replace the child's growing up and making their own decision to accept Christ. But it doesn't mean that, or it does mean that the parents will do everything within their power to see that what they do and where they place their faith is in God. They're going to do everything to train and to teach that child, to make those steps towards accepting Christ at some point in their life and make that relationship a personal relationship with them. Moses told the children of Israel this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these verses, and we've read them many times over the last year. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to be your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. As parents, our first responsibility is to be faithful to the Lord, to walk upright before Him, so that our children will see us as an example. That is what Moses was commanding the children of Israel. This is the first step. The second step is that we must teach our children about God, what He has done for us, what He has accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. Remember, what we do not teach our children at home will not equip them to handle what we come before in the world. We must give the foundation from which to build upon, as well as to be able to refute the false teachings of our society. And when we dedicate our children to God, we are coming into an agreement with God that we will do whatever we can to ensure that our child is brought up to be strong, to be secure and knowledgeable of God, in a hope that one day they will accept them. We're not forcing God upon our children. We are teaching the truth about God to our children. And when we dedicate our children to God, we come into that agreement that we will keep that child before Him through our actions and through our words. Your children are blessed by your obedience to God, and they are cursed by your disobedience to God. They have a free will, but you stack the odds in their favor or against them by the way you live. And as you obey God with your life, you are setting up that child to receive God's very best for his or her life. Proverbs chapter 22. A verse that I love to use at a baby dedication is this. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now this time I'm going to call up Tyra Fair. Where are you? There she is. All right. Tyra, can you bring your parents up here with you? Yeah, you guys too. I've got some questions for you. Is this mic one? Is this one on? So that we can hear their responses. Jake and Diane, do you understand that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to receive and to bless Tyra and to grant her the blessings of all the children of God? If so, answer yes.
Yes.
Do you profess faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you accept the responsibility to keep God's will and commandments, walking in the ways of our Lord?
Yes.
Will you pray for this child, take care of her, that she may learn to do all these things as she grows?
Yes.
Will you use all diligence to see that this child is raised to lead a godly and Christian life?
Yes.
And will you, the congregation, are you willing to use all diligence to see that Jake and Diane and Lil and Sean, that these people will lead godly lives in order that they can raise Tyra in a manner that is pleasing to God? If so, you may answer, we will. And what is the name that you have given to this child?
Like the full name?
The full name.
Tyra Christina Norma Fair.
Tyra Christina Norma Fair, we dedicate you at the foot of the cross as a symbol that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ and the gospel. Shall we pray? Father, we bring thanks to you this morning for the life of this child, Tyra. We thank you for the decisions and the declarations made here by her parents, Jake and Diane. We pray that you would receive her into your loving arms. We ask that Tyra, by your mercy, grow in health of body and mind, and to serve you according to your will all the days of her life. I pray that you would give her wisdom and patience and strength. And I pray that these things would be given to Jake and unto Diane as they seek your will in raising Tyra. I pray that you would continually bless them as they serve you, and that these things would be passed on through example to Tyra. I pray that she would always know and remember that you are in control, and to seek you in her life as she grows. Father, we ask that she would be a close companion to her sister, that the two of them would encourage one another to grow closer to you. I pray also that in her time, that she would choose you. And I ask that until that time comes, we entrust her to you. I ask that she receive from your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to be glory and honor forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tyra Christina Norma Fair, you have been blessed with many names. And in your comings and in your goings, may God always be your encampment. May you be a Christ bearer all of your days. From the north and the south, the east and the west, may all know the greatness of God as you journey in life. Amen. And the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guide you and give you wisdom as you parent this child. Amen. Blessings. All right, where's that little guy? Come on up, Zachary. I didn't put it up there because there just wasn't enough room, but for those of you who remember, Zachary was born at 12 pounds, 1 ounce, or 1.7 ounces. Why don't you guys step forward and we'll get some of the group to come around. Clayton and Jennifer, do you understand that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to receive and to bless Zachary and grant to him the blessing of all children of God?
Yes, we do.
Do you profess faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Will you pray for this child and take care that he may learn to do all of these things?
Yes.
Do you accept the responsibility to keep God's will and commandments, walking the way of our Lord Jesus Christ? Will you use all diligence to see that this child is raised to lead a godly and Christian life?
Yes.
And will you, the congregation, use all diligence to see that Clayton and Jennifer will lead godly lives in order that they may raise Zachary in a manner pleasing to God? Can I hold him?
Hey, Zach. What is the name given to this child?
Zachary Montague Theodore Schneider.
Zachary Montague Theodore Schneider, that you will not be ashamed to confess faith in Christ and in his gospel. Shall we pray? Father, we bring thanks to you this morning for the life of Zachary. We thank you for the decision and the declarations made here by his parents, Clayton and Jennifer. We pray that you would receive him into your loving arms. May Zachary, by your mercy, grow in health of body and mind to serve you faithfully, according to your will, all of the days of his life. I pray that you would give him wisdom, patience, and strength to Clayton and to Jennifer as they seek your will in raising Zachary. I pray that you will continually bless him as they serve you, and that these things would be passed on through example to him. I pray that you would, that he would always know you and remember that you are in control. And when those struggles and trials come, that he would seek you as he grows. Father, we ask that he would be close to Cadence, his sister, that the two of them would encourage one another in their faith as they grow, that they would be close to one another. I also pray that in his time that Zachary would come to know you. And until that happens, I pray that we entrust him to you. I ask that he receive from you your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Be glory and honor forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Zachary Montague Theodore Schneider, you also have been blessed with names, many of them from many generations. And in the journey of life, know that God has remembered you from the hill of success to the valley of sorrows. You are a divine gift of God given to your parents. One day may you receive the divine gift of Jesus Christ on your own as your Savior. Amen. In the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be given unto you, Clayton and Jen, as you raise Zachary. Amen. Now, as we move from dedication of one sort to a dedication of another, the date was about 450. The place was Ireland. And the story is told about the baptism of King Angus by St. Patrick. Sometime during the ceremony, St. Patrick took his staff, which was sharpened at the end, and by pure accident put it on the foot of the king. And he began to lean on that foot. He stabbed the foot. It began to bleed. And St. Patrick was just completely unaware. after the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down and realized all of the blood. And then it dawned on him what he had done. And he begged the king's forgiveness, and he says, "Why did you suffer this pain in silence?" And the king replied, "I thought it was part of the ritual." Well, let me assure you that Christ bled and died on our behalf, and thankfully, we don't have to be stabbed before we're baptized. We have not only died with Christ, but we have been buried with Him. This was symbolized at baptism. As believers, the Holy Spirit, at conversion, the spiritually, we are baptized by the Spirit. We express it publicly when we enter the waters of baptism. Because baptism is burial. The burial of all that we were as children of Adam. And in baptism, we acknowledge that nothing in ourselves could ever please God. And so we are putting our sinful flesh out of God's sight forever. But it doesn't end with burial. Not only have we been crucified with Christ and buried with Him, but we have also risen with Him to walk in the newness of life. And all of this takes place at the time of conversion. Baptism is not some magical rite, but an act of obedience in confessing our faith. Baptism symbolizes our experience from death in the sinful life and resurrection into the new life as we rise out of the water. Baptism is an outward symbol of our inward experience. It's also important to keep in mind that no outward ceremony brings us to Christ. Not a baby dedication, not a baptism. The issue is whether or not we are born again. Whether we really know Christ as Savior. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body at the moment of conversion. And it's by this baptism we identify with Christ when we rise with Him, joined with a living Christ. Salvation is an easy and simple step. From sinner to salvation. In order to obtain salvation, we first must acknowledge that we are sinners. I am a sinner, as well as every person in this room. We have all sinned. You're not special if you sin. We all do it. The second step is this. Acknowledge that God has stated that the price for sin is death. The price for sin is death, eternal death. Because we sin, we're doomed. We're doomed to live our entire existence in the afterlife in hell because of our sin. However, we don't have to because Jesus died for our sins. Every sin that we commit can be forgiven if we just seek that forgiveness. All you have to do is ask. Salvation is a free gift. The gift of salvation can be yours. By just acknowledging that you are a sin. You are a sinful person. That Jesus has already paid the price of that sin when He died on the cross. To repent of your sins and to ask Him to be your Savior, the Lord of your life. That is how to be saved. And today as we celebrate baptism, baptism shows us as we go into the water, that our sins are washed away, and we come out of the baptismal tank a new person. I'm not going to fool anybody. This is tap water, folks. We've blessed it with our service and asking God to bless this service. And I'm going to call the worship team forward at this time, and they're going to come and sing, a song, because, sorry, I'm not going to baptize in this. Salvation is the resurrection power of God. It's not some philosophy. It's not some gimmick. It's not some little system. It's not the taking of some course that will enable you to live for God. It's your faith in God and the grace that He gives us that grants us salvation. It's a step from sinner to salvation, and it's a step into the tank of baptism.
How about you stand right here so everybody can hear you? What's your name?
Tori Caitlinite.
Tori Caitlinite. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And are you coming to be baptized of your own free will?
Yes.
Can you tell me why you would like to be baptized?
Because Jesus said to.
Okay, because Jesus said to. That's awesome. Do you have a verse that you would like to share with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
John 3:16 and 17 says that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son in to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him.
Amen. Amen. I think it's awesome that you chose a passage from John chapter 3, where Jesus talks to Nicodemus late at night. And as He's talking to Nicodemus, He asks, how can I be saved? And He talks about, well, unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus thinks, born of water, can an old man climb into the womb again? No, to be born of water, to be born naturally, to be born of the Spirit, to have that new life. That's awesome. Tori Caitlin Ides, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're waiting for one more person. But Martin was singing just a moment ago, so we've got to give him a moment to get changed. So we will wait patiently. Sorry, I don't have the musical skills that Walter does to lead us in a song. Yeah. Can you tell me what your name is?
Martin Denny. Martin Jeffrey Denny.
And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
He is, yes.
And are you coming to be baptized of your own free will?
That I am, yes.
Okay. Can you tell me why you would like to be baptized?
It's obeying the Lord. The Lord wants me to be baptized, so.
And is there anything that you would like to share with the congregation?
Yeah. I recently was saved. I had said a prayer to receive Christ in my life many times, but it wasn't connected with my heart. It was just in my mind. So I was a nominal Christian for like 29 years of my life. I would go through these schizophrenic episodes where it seemed like I was lost forever, which I was at the time. They were so dark. I was suicidal much of the time. In the 2 months that I've been saved, I notice I still go through episodes, but there's no darkness really to it anymore. I've been set free from a lot of things in my life, and I'm just happy that Jesus saved me, and hope that everyone in this place can say the same thing, that Jesus is truly their Savior. That'd be great.
Amen. Amen.
Dave, I hope it all loses. It's a kind of borrowed trunks, and they don't fit that well.
Okay. Okay. Ready?
This way?
Well, however you want to do it.
This way.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Remember to bend your knees?
Yeah.
Martin Jeffrey Denny, based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.